I thought it'd be good to have him come and share his story with us this morning. And so George is going to come. And I know if you did hear it in August, it's going to be good to hear it again. And if you didn't, you're going to get to know him a little bit better and find out a little bit about his background and what God's done in his life. So welcome George Whittefield this morning.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you, everybody. If you were at the outdoor service in August and you don't want to listen to this again, you can go have a coffee or something. don't jam in the door on the way out, though. That's the only thing. So we've been very blessed to be here at this church, and we've moved quite a few times in our lives together, and every time we do, we usually say lots of prayers and ask for God to send us to the right place and tell us whether it's the right move to make. And so far, he's never let us down. We've gone to different places and found churches that where we feel like we're at home as soon as we get there. And this is one of them that we really feel like this is where we were meant to be right at this time in our lives. So I'll just tell you a little bit about me. I was raised in a home where we were taught right from wrong and to treat people with respect. I went to Sunday school at the local United Church when I was young, so I knew that Jesus was the Son of God and Christmas was to celebrate his birth. However, we did not go to church much, and as I got older, I spent most of my Sundays working with my dad. My parents had a very busy machinery business and service station in a small town in Saskatchewan, and Sundays seemed the only time we had to work on our horses. As I grew older, I fell into the same lifestyle as a lot of people. I partied and drank and smoked. Although I didn't drink every day, I was the sort of drinker that one was too many and 10 were not enough. I was quite shy and seemed like I needed to drink to loosen up and to feel like I fit in, or so I thought. I did a lot of driving while impaired, and I'm not proud of that. And I would often wake up at home and not remember how I got there. And I thank God every day that I didn't kill someone. I was very small for my age, was ill a lot as a child. I was not real athletic, and I had very low self-esteem. I married in my late 20s, and that marriage ended after 11 years. We have 3 daughters. A year and a half after my marriage ended, I entered into a relationship with another woman, and that relationship ended after about 6 months when she left for another man. At that time in my life, I thought of myself as a real loser. I felt no one would or could love me. I fell into a very bad depression. And some days I only came out of the house to feed the cows and horses. Often I didn't answer the door if someone came to see me. One night I decided I didn't want to live anymore. I just couldn't figure out how I was going to end it. And that night I had a vision that I now know came from God. Even though I was wide awake, I saw my own funeral. It was like I had a balcony seat, and I could see my parents and my daughters, and I could see what my suicide had done to them. My pain was gone, but theirs was just beginning. I decided I couldn't do that to them. I spent the rest of the night in the dark, hiding under a blanket. Next morning, I did some checking into getting some help, and with my oldest daughter's help, I was lucky to find a very good counselor who showed me that I had some changing, had to do some changing in my life and how I looked at myself. I went to Al-Anon and did some group counseling. I decided that most of my mistakes I had made in my life had come when I was drinking, so I quit drinking. Now, about that time, I needed some bulls hauled to the pasture. At that time, I was out here at the Calder Togo Community Pasture. The fellow I usually hired wasn't available, so I contacted another fellow that I knew. He was someone I had partied with on occasions, and I knew him somewhat. After he dropped off the bulls, I asked him in for coffee, and we talked about how his life had been much like mine. He said he had gone to a church in Yorkton a couple of times. He said he sort of liked it. He also went out to his truck and brought in a Fellowship of Christian Cowboys Bible. Earlier, he had hauled cows for another fellow, and that fellow had given him 2 Bibles. When he said he didn't think he needed 2, the fellow said he should take 2 because you never know when you might need another one. He left the Bible for me and I put it on my kitchen table. For a few days, it seemed like no matter which spot I sat at, that Bible was always in the way. One day, I finally opened it up and started to read it. It was the New Testament. Over the next while, I read it twice. The fellow that gave it to me called, and we arranged to go to this church in Yorkton. Now, a few years before this, I had driven down this side street in Yorkton with another fellow that I used to hang out with. I noticed that on an old lumber yard, there was a sign that said Parkland Community Church. When I asked him about it, he said, "Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of weirdos started that up. I think it's some kind of a cult." We had a good laugh. Well, guess what church we pulled up to a few years later? To say the least, I was more than a little apprehensive. However, when we walked into that church, I felt very at ease. It felt warm, inviting. The people were very welcoming. I started going every Sunday. It was a small congregation, and the pastor and his wife were able to take a lot of time for this fellow and I. We took Bible study at their house, ate meals with their family. I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and both the other fellow and I decided to be baptized. And we were on November 5th, 1995. It was great. I felt like I finally belonged, and I realized Jesus was there for me, and I was never alone. I couldn't be a loser if Jesus died for me. I did still have something bothering me, though, and I could not seem to quit smoking. One evening, I met Pastor Dan for coffee at a local truck stop in Yorkton. I told him I was having trouble with smoking. He said he would say a prayer for me with me right then and there if I wanted. I'm sure we drew a few looks from some of the other patrons. But he asked Jesus to take away that addiction, and he did. I drove home that night with a pack of cigarettes beside me in the car. I suffered absolutely no withdrawal, and have never wanted a cigarette since then. In fact, the smell of cigarette smoke from that time on turned my stomach, really. One other night, I was driving home from helping do a church service at a senior's home. I was thinking about how great life was when I had the feeling that Jesus was riding with me. It was like I could have reached out and touched him. I felt him with me many times since. That night when I got home, I was sitting having a cup of coffee and some words came to me. The words, "God is real," came to me. I had never written a poem since I was in school. The words from my poem, "God is real," just seemed to come. I can read that now for you. It says, "God is real. He makes me feel secure. When life gets tough, he lifts me up and he comforts me. God is there. He hears my prayer. He holds on tight and he makes things right. God, he gave his only son so he could save us all from sin. Through him we win. Through him we have salvation. God is great. I can hardly wait to grasp his hand and walk with him through the holy gate." So I was doing pretty good by myself. I had the girls on the weekends, my job, and my God. I decided if I was to be by myself, that would be okay. However, God had other plans. I received a phone call from a woman I did not know. She was a friend of mutual friends. They had given her my phone number. We talked for about an hour, then talked every week after that. I'm pretty sure we racked up shares in SaskTel over that time period. About 6 weeks later, we met face to face. We felt we knew each other pretty well because we had felt free to talk about a lot of things and we had not had any physical reactions to each other. This woman was Rita. We were married a little over a year later, and life has been an adventure ever since. Since accepting Christ, he has given me confidence to try for new jobs and new locations. We have met a lot of very good friends and some interesting ones too. I can't say that everything in my life has been smooth sailing since accepting Christ into my life, but I can say that when things do get tough, it sure makes it a lot easier to get through. I know that I'm not in it alone, and we have someone to help us through those tough times. I appreciate some of the things I went through because it helps me appreciate what I have now. One of the quotes that I take great comfort in is Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I carry that in my wallet all the time, so if I run into problems, I can pull it out and read it. We have been blessed to find churches where we feel we fit in, where we learn more about Christ. I guess I'm now one of those weirdos. Now, I'm very happy to say that before my dad passed away, he accepted the Lord. And with my dad, he'd had a stroke and was in the home for about a year and a half. And dad was one of the, his mother had and his father had very strong faith, but dad had lost all of that. And him, religion was just kind of, he saw so many people that were phony, you know, proclaimed religion. And so I'd kind of gotten that, and I realized later on that religion is a lot different than faith. And but I couldn't figure out why my dad had he'd gone through a massive heart attack, and that the doctor said he should have died from. He recovered from that. And then about a year or so later, he had a massive stroke that paralyzed him. And Dad was he'd been through the war. He was a very proud man. And he had a really tough time with being paralyzed and not being able to feed himself or do anything for himself. I couldn't figure out why he had to go through that. But just before he passed away, he accepted the Lord. And I'd been praying with him at the lodge and another fellow and reading to him from the Bible. And before he died, he accepted Christ. And then just the day before my mother passed away, she accepted Christ too. I feel she did anyway. I had been sitting with her. She had been non-communicative for several days. Her eyes were cloudy and just staring. I had said some prayers over her and told her it was okay to go. And then if she asked Jesus to come, he would come and take her with him. I then said the Lord's Prayer. And when I looked at her, her eyes were clear and focused on my face. She had tears in her eyes. And she gave my hand a slight squeeze. Excuse me. Then her eyes slowly went dim again. She did not pass away right at that time, but shortly after. And I believe that at that time, though, the Lord came and was with her. I've been blessed in so many ways, and I cannot imagine being that guy hiding under the blanket in the dark. I thank God that that guy no longer exists. God is good. There's one other little poem I'll read you that I wrote and afterwards. And it just says, God gives me strength when I am low. He gives me direction when I don't know which way to go. God gives me comfort when life is strained. He gives my life music, a rhapsody refrained. God gives me new life, much different from the old. He gives me greater wealth than diamonds or gold. God asks nothing of me that I cannot give. He gives me the choice of how I want to live. Thank you.